buyer and the bank, they're partners. Mm-hmm. They are in partnership.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's one of those things where the bank is looking at it as like, this is going to be our business partner. Mm-hmm. And I need to make sure that my business partner is forthright and, you know, exactly. tells me everything. Right. And I don't think that people necessarily look at their, I don't think that people look at their bank like that. I think that... Welcome back to the Apex Business Advisors Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Kavanaugh, joined, as always, because you've been here 2 weeks in a row, the president of Apex, Doug Hubler.
It's like a slight, isn't it, what you just said there to me?
As we're recording in March, it's obvious that March Madness is here because you brought a highlighter.
With papers.
I use a highlighter once a year, and it's to highlight the correct picks in my NCAA tournament brackets, which generally end up with more scratch outs.
I was going to say, how are you doing on that?
Not good at all.
Nobody is.
Nobody's ever doing good. So, well, today's topic, before we get started on today's topic, we had a closing this past week that we want to talk about. So I'll give you the floor and then I'll let you introduce the topic.
Yeah. Valerie had a nice closing on Monday. It's something that she'd worked on for a few months. Actually had a buyer on it right away, had multiple letters of intent. So fortunately, the buyer was able to pick a private group that they were happy to work with. And Valerie said at the closing, it was a virtual closing. So there were 17 people on the Zoom call.
It's a lot of people.
A lot of attorneys.
It's a lot of attorneys.
Investors that were on the call. And so 6 minutes later, everybody signed. Everybody's good to go. So it was nice. So it was basically an IT security type business outside of Kansas City, not local. So yeah, it was a very nice closing.
Well, congratulations, Valerie. I know that it's a lot of work that went into that, mm-hmm. especially with the number of people involved on both sides.
She did say she got cleaned up for the closing on the video and quickly discovered that she was the only one with the camera on. So,
well,
got off. I mean, she tried hard.
That's a true professional there.
That's right.
That is a true professional. So that is, well, good for her. Yeah. And congratulations again, Valerie. Our topic today is what happens when we get last minute things that are found out.
Last minute things that are found out and happens to be the lender finding these things out. And so I think, okay, I have to say we just had a deal collapse, which is bringing up this topic. And Debbie's been working on this particular deal for several months. We were about a week and a half from closing. And what happens is that's often when the bank goes through and does some final checks, maybe does some background checks. They look for any kind of liens that are outstanding. And so happens that in this case, there had been some tax liens outstanding on the buyer side.
Well, let's stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they do it right at the tail end?
Well, there are... I would say that's a great question. Sometimes and this isn't the first time this has happened. So it is frustrating to get this far into it before they do their checks. There is a fair amount of expense they go through when they do these checks. The applicant has filled out forms, which is partly what I was highlighting here. Some things that they promise to tell the truth, that they've paid all their taxes, they don't have anything outstanding, they don't have any loans that are outstanding that haven't been disclosed. So in this case, if the parties had disclosed that they had outstanding tax liens, well, the bank can work with that. They can say, okay, this is how we're going to handle it. We either need to have you pay it off now, because the SBA is a government agency. They're not going to loan you money if you owe the government money. So if you're outstanding, if you've not paid a prior SBA loan, if you defaulted, if you are past due on your taxes, if you've defaulted there, then they are not going to loan you money. and they are going to, now let's say in this case, you say, okay, this is the issue you've got. If, as long as you pay your taxes, we get some receipt, the taxes are paid, then we can proceed. In this case, because when it gets close to closing and there are some things outstanding that weren't disclosed in the application, then the bank looks at that as a character issue.
So the bank feels?
They think, okay, you've been hiding information from us. So what else might there be? So now one, you know, say the business development officer might say, we think we can get this handled, let's go ahead. But you've got credit committee behind them. You've got other folks, not just one person with the bank. And the decision was that they were going to deny the loan a week and a half before closing. So it is, it puts everybody in quite a bind. We've got a title company. We've got property owners that were involved. And obviously buyer and seller who had worked on this for several months. So it's a pretty painful thing to happen at the end. And I think that's why we wanted to bring this up is the paperwork. When you're filling out an SBA loan, you are promising to tell the truth on, and there's a good list of questions here that you're promising that you don't have outstanding. If you have outstanding debts, disclose what it is. Disclose where you're getting funds to acquire the business, the type of business you're buying. And I was, I had my highlighter out.
You did.
And one of the businesses, they will not, I thought this was interesting, they will not fund businesses with live performances of a purulent, I don't know how to say that, sexual nature.
Strip clubs.
Will not do that. They could have just said strip clubs.
Why can't we say strip clubs?
So there are certain businesses they will not fund. We kind of know going in which ones to avoid. Anything of illegal nature. So the forms that you're filling out, and you have to read this. There are, the font is not large, and they are going to stick to it. So if you end up getting the loan, they didn't find out ahead of time, and you default later because maybe you lied on one of these things, one of these topics, then you can be imprisoned for lying on an application. We don't want that. We don't want our buyers or sellers going to jail.
Nobody wants to go to jail for an SBA loan.
It's not worth it. Not worth it.
What are some of the things that they're asking you to? What are some of the things they're asking you to?
Well, they want to make sure one of the things that's interesting is they want to make sure that you are not behind on your child support. So you have to prove that you're up to date on child support, that you are fully compliant with all state, federal, local taxes. So there aren't, like I said, there aren't any liens or outstanding judgments. You're not a party to a lawsuit. And people will think, well, would I have to tell them that? What if I filed bankruptcy 10 years ago? It doesn't show up on my credit report. Well, those are things that maybe the SBA actually has the ability to look back further.
I did run into that where it was we had a buyer that I think she had a credit card write-off or something. Mm-hmm. She's in her mid-30s now. It's going 32, 33. Happened when she was 18 or 19.
Yeah.
She didn't disclose it. The bank felt like she was hiding something. And she was like, I had completely forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Because it was, 15 years ago.
So long ago. Right.
So does ignorance play a part in this? Like, where do we draw the line? So like with my particular buyer, I 100% believe her. I believe her story when she's right. Like, look, I was 18 or 19. It was like a $5,000 credit card limit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the money. They wrote it off. It's been 15 years ago. You know, like, I don't know that you remember every single thing
right.
That happened.
You remember big things, right? And it's all relative. So I think in one of the disclosures here, it says the applicant understands that knowingly making false statements to obtain a loan can get you into trouble. Well, in that case, what they didn't remember. So we had a deal in a similar situation about a year and a half ago was very close to closing, fell apart at the last week, same situation. The bank ran a credit report, and they felt like something came up on that credit report that wasn't disclosed, thought it was a character issue again. Now, that deal fell apart, but we went straight to another bank who had the same information and approved it. So it was, in that case, knowing what that first bank looked at as an issue, and the buyer, like what you're saying, is the buyer didn't realize that was an issue or wasn't a big thing. One bank says it's a character issue. The other bank says, this is not a big deal, and we've got it on a spreadsheet here, so let's do the deal.
How can a buyer protect themselves from this? So if I have a tax lien, for example, how would I know that?
If you open your mail, you will not. The IRS is going to send you periodic statements, demand letters. So if you have a tax lien, you're going to know. That's not something that's going to slide. They're going to be following up with you consistently. So I think, like I said, an old bankruptcy, for example, those are things that you just need to talk to the banker about and say, okay, here's what happened 20 years ago at a bankruptcy. What do I do about that? Do I disclose it? And they'll say, yes, disclose it. Say it was 20 years ago. As long as we know, we can move beyond that. So it's just the fact, if you feel like that's a big thing. So if you've hidden it, you don't disclose it, because it doesn't say, have you had bankruptcy in the last 7 years? It asks if you've ever had a bankruptcy. So just say yes.
Is that asking about felonies and things like that on there as well?
It does.
And so, like, on a felony, for example, let's say that somebody had a few too many one night.
Right.
And
right.
They had a meeting with their local law enforcement.
A
roadside meeting. Uh-huh. And they failed a pop quiz. And they essentially, they basically got a DWI, and right. They got a suspended sentence. It, uh-huh. It expunged from their record. You know, they went to, first time offender went to a program, completed the steps, yeah. And now they were on probation for X number of years, and then it's expunged from their records.
If it's expunged, I would think it's not, but I would still probably say to the banker, okay, this is what happened. It's expunged. What do I do? Let the banker tell you what to do in that case, because it's not going to be a DUI isn't necessarily going to keep you from buying a business. Not telling somebody you had one will keep you from getting a business. There are certain felonies that I said are okay when buying a business, but if you have a DUI, you're not going to be able to get a liquor license to buy a liquor store or a bar, right? So kind of depends what kind of business you're buying. If you are a sexual predator, you will not get a loan for anything, right? So there are certain things that are just hard no's for getting an SBA loan. And we don't know. It doesn't happen very often, right? When we have somebody come and says, oh yeah, I have a felony on my record, and this is what it was. Usually when we've come across that, they've been what we consider kind of minor, and they've been, you know, 10 years ago, but they've completed their sentence or their parole or whatever, and the business that they're applying for had nothing to do with what they were charged with.
Yeah, it's generally not the guy that's committing the same crime while he's out on bond that's applying for this.
Right.
And generally, a lot of these are common oversights.
Mm-hmm.
I think the message that we're wanting to send today is, hey, make sure that you're error on the side of disclosure.
Yeah.
To the bank,
right.
Because this
you're not going to overshare with the banker, right? Tell them everything, like they're the doctor. Just tell them everything. They'll decide what you can or need to disclose on these forms. And I think the important thing here is it's not a ton of paperwork, but read it.
Yeah. Would you suggest sending that to an attorney? You get those loan forms.
I don't know if you really need to. I think these are pretty common sense statements in here, that you are promising that you haven't done this or that, and the use of the funds. And the other thing is, where are the funds coming from? They're going to want to know, where are you getting the money for the down payment? And if you end up, this happened probably within the last year, with somebody borrowed money right before closing to use for the down payment, and that messed up the entire deal.
And I think we've done podcasts on that where we talked about clean months. Some banks will want to see two clean months, meaning that let's say that I'm going to get my loan funded in June. In April and May, I can't have a large deposit into my account.
Right, right.
I could have it on March 31st, but I could not have it on April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So put it in April 1st. April 1st is now a dirty month.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't close now until July because I have to have 60 days of clean months, meaning 2 months of my statement showing that I don't have these large influxes
of cash.
Yeah. You know. External money, right? So like if I have a large infusion of cash from a stock account that I own, that's my portfolio or that I have a brokerage account that I'm moving money into, that's totally fine. But if Doug gives me a lot of money and then I put that in the middle of April, I can't close on that business until July.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. And when it comes down to it, if there's ever a question, just talk to the banker, talk to the lending source. They'll work through it with you and help you with that strategy and getting to closing because everybody's got the same interest. So they're going to tell you if there's going to be an issue and hopefully early on, and we're not waiting till the last week to find out some disaster.
Yeah. From a structure standpoint, I think this kind of goes overlooked a lot. Buyer and the bank, they're partners.
Mm-hmm.
They are in partnership.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's one of those things where the bank is looking at as like, this is going to be our business partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to make sure that my business partner is forthright and tells me everything.
Right.
And I don't think that people necessarily look at their, I don't think that people look at their bank like that. I think that one of the biggest mistakes that we see buyers make in their relationship with their bank is that they view their bank like they would view their mortgage lender. I'm going to go in here, fill out a few pieces of paper. You're going to give me money to buy this house. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy the house. And then I'm going to send you a monthly check. And that's it. As we talk about a lot, it's much more in depth when you're buying a business.
Yeah.
There's a lot more, like that bank is going to want to see financial statements. Some semi-annually, some annually, some even quarterly. Mm-hmm. They want to see that. So you're going to be reporting back to them. So realistically, you should be viewing your bank as your business partner.
It is true. And when you need to have some cash down the road because, you know, cash is tight, you've got a line of credit and you call that banker and say, I need 50 grand to get me through this next month. And because my receivables are slow for some reason. Well, if you've got a good relationship with that banker and you've been honest and open all along, you're going to have a much better time getting that cash. They're going to want you to succeed. Like you said, they're a partner in this. They don't want to see anybody fail. But going into it, if they feel like there's a character issue, they're looking at that partner and saying, do I want to be in business with this person?
Yeah, it's no different than, you know, if you and I decide that we're going to go into business and into a venture together. We want to know, do I know this person? Do I trust this person? How's it going to go down the road? And so I think that's the main thing that you have to consider when you're, because let's be honest, the bank is bringing 80 to 90% of the money to these deals. So you're going to buy a $1 million business. They're ponying up $800,000 to $900,000.
Your banker is your friend.
So they need to be your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of partners, if you need a partner to help you either in your quest to buy or sell a business, there's only one place that you should go, and that is kcapex.com. You should be reaching out to Doug or myself. Really, me, then Doug.
Andy's not available.
All Doug does is podcasts. So he does podcasts and looks at the website. So kcapex.com, that's your one-stop shop for everything buying or selling a business. There's tons of information out there for buyer resources and seller resources. There's plenty of information out there for both buyers and sellers, just general good business practices. One thing we don't say enough is general good business practices are one of the biggest things to selling a business. and it is one of the biggest things to buying a business. So there's tons of tips and tricks out there, both for if you're looking at selling your business or if you're buying a business, something to, as you look towards the end game of your entrepreneurship and your exit out of that particular business, that there's tons of stuff out there. So of course our current listings are out there, podcasts, valuation tools, all of that is out there. So go check that out, kcapex.com. If you're looking at buying or selling a business, we got you, fam.